Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Basketball season is back. The Razorbacks will be in action Monday night when they take on North Dakota State in the season opener at Bud Walton Arena. It's going to be a 7 o'clock tip-off, and it will be on SEC Network Plus. Today on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, we'll take a look at that game. We'll also take a look back at the Razorbacks exhibition games against Rogers State and against the University of Texas with Bob Holt of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Scotty Bordelon, and Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com, and I'm Matt Jones. Let's start with Texas because that's the most recent game, and Scotty, you were our eyes and our ears down there in Austin. You had a fun little planes, trains, and automobile type day getting to Austin, but you were there, you saw it. Was it as bad as the final score would indicate? I mean, what are your takeaways from this? Do you look at it as, hey, that's just an exhibition game and that's sometimes how they go?
Yeah, the game was about as bad as my luck on Friday trying to get to Austin. It was pretty bad. I think my flights got delayed. I think a total, my flight from XNA to Dallas and then from the connecting flight to Austin, I think they got delayed like 13 times because of weather and all other kinds of stuff.
And that's not an exaggeration, by the way.
No, it's not.
That's the absolute truth.
It's not. It's 13. It got delayed 13 times. Like, I was there before noon and I finally just called it quits about 8:30. I ate twice. I normally don't eat, but like once a day. And I ate twice there. I ate twice there because I was there so long. It was about that bad. And the first half, it was interesting. Like, Texas was like in control of the game in the first half, but they never were really able to pull away. Like, I think with 3:03 left in the first half, Ricky Council split a pair of free throws and Arkansas was down three. And then Texas closed on like a 9-2 run, made it a 10-point game at halftime. But, I'm trying to be mindful of what Texas's lead is in the first half because I'm writing the game story and want to give people who aren't able to watch, obviously not watch, but listen either, kind of a recap of what's going on. And it was like 5 points, 6 points, but anytime Texas got like a 6-point lead, Arkansas was typically able to answer, whether it was Nick Smith making something happen off the bounce or Makai Mitchell. I thought he was really good in the first half, especially, it was like the role man in Arkansas's ball screen actions. Was really impressed with his footwork. He made a really nice spin move, finished with the left hand. Gorgeous. I mean, that's the type of plays that I think Arkansas has seen behind closed doors from him, and that's why he got some extended run in that first half. It was like he was like their only other source of offense other than Nick. And then the game just – they went into halftime. You're only down 10. They played pretty bad, but they're still like within striking distance. But there was just no – there was no life in them, I don't feel like, in the second half. And when I talked to, Ronnie Brewer was at the HI Sports Club on Wednesday, did a Q&A with him, and he said that, the staff was kind of disappointed in the fact that Arkansas didn't compete for 40 minutes, and it's just kind of not characteristic of, who Eric's teams have been or what the DNA of Arkansas's teams under Eric have been in the past. Texas opened on a 7-0 run to begin the second half. And then I think Arkansas scored maybe once or twice. And then that avalanche came where 20-0 run in like less than 4 minutes. And the game was just completely over. And to make matters worse, like right as Texas went up by 30 and Eric called a timeout after a three, Trevin Brazil got hit and he got hit below the belt and was like rolling around on the ground. And you're just like, man, this is adding insult to injury, literally. Trevin, I think, was fine. He came back and sat on the bench, but didn't play. It was just a big time learning experience for a bunch of those guys. Like, you could kind of tell that Arkansas goes a lot of 5-on-0 and 5-0 and 5 against managers in practice. And you can kind of tell that Texas kind of locks horns, no pun intended, in practice. And they're definitely the more physical team. And they hit Arkansas in the face pretty good in that second half. And they had no response.
One of the other things I think you got to keep in mind is that Texas had played Houston in a secret scrimmage the weekend before down in San Antonio. Arkansas had played a Division II school and not a very good Division II school. And so they're at, and then you take into the consideration that Texas has got all these players back. Arkansas is a team that's got a lot of freshmen and obviously a lot of transfers into the program. two very different states in their run-up, I guess, you know, to the regular season that they were in last week.
Yeah, Texas is kind of a veteran group too. Like Chris Beard likes the roster that he's got. Like he's got Timmy Allen. I think he was an all Big 12 performer last year. And from the transfer portal, they got a kid named Jabari Rice, who, if Arkansas fans might remember that name, he played at New Mexico State last season. So Arkansas saw him in the NCAA tournament. And then in that exhibition, he had a pretty good game. But yeah, their interior toughness was just so overwhelming to Arkansas. And I think you're right, Matt, like that facing a team like Houston, who I think is a national title contender, like bar none this year, facing them was, you know, probably their wake up call. And then they were able to go knock out Arkansas pretty good. And that's their, you know, their second action of the preseason. But guys like Trevin Brazil, Jalen Graham did not show up. Like Brazil threw the ball away on Arkansas's first possession, had a shot blocked, a layup, literally a layup blocked into the courtside seats. Like there was a young fan that caught the ball, and it was kind of a, it was not pretty. And Trevin did have, like, he got an offensive rebound one time, I think, and had, and added a layup and a free throw. But then like a couple minutes later, he throws the ball away again, just really similarly to what he did on that first possession. And then he had a stretch, literally I looked it up in his activity log, 5 minutes, 19 seconds, didn't record a single stat. And then he had a couple other stretches where he went like a minute and a half without doing anything. I mean, that's over half of his minute. He only played 15 minutes, but at least half of his minutes, he was just kind of out there, kind of almost like getting cardio. I mean, that's, you need more from Trevin, who I think is one of your core guys, like with Nick Smith and Anthony Black. And then, you know, Jalen Graham, I thought, had a really good red-white game, and then he showcased some of that really, really good footwork in the Roger State game. But he was another one that was kind of overwhelmed by the physicality inside. They've got to embrace that because it's going to be coming all year. I mean, opponents see the bullseye on Arkansas's back, and they're going to come at them maybe harder than they've ever been, you know, played before.
Yeah, one of the things I thought is that Eric Musselman, I don't know that he wanted a 30-point loss, but I think he wanted that wake-up call, whatever, you know, in whatever iteration that might be. He wanted a wake-up call for his team, and that's why he scheduled Texas. And I think he probably, if you ask him, he probably would have told you that he thought they were going to lose that game, just because he know. I mean, he can feel the way the wind blows. You know, you've got a veteran team there with Texas. You know, you've got a young team there, a lot of 18-year-old kids who are very, you know, rated highly. Have been McDonald's All-Americans, five-star recruits, and there's a humbling process that needs to happen. And then you get a team that's like Chris Beard, coach defensive team, you're going to get that against a team like Texas. And so I think that he's not going to say this in public, but I think if you were to ask Eric Musselman, you know, privately, he'd probably tell you, yeah, this was a really good thing, and this is what I wanted to happen for my team, because now you don't have that experience like they had necessarily. Maybe you do, but maybe you don't have that wake-up call like you had last year against OU and Tulsa, right? You got it before the season, and now your players are better prepared to play once, say, they get into, you know, good competition, whether that's South Dakota State, Maui, or whoever it might be, Andrew.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the overwhelming theme kind of being preached from Eric Musselman in the preseason has just been the need for him to practice patience, because the team is just so young and so talented. But the jump from high school to college basketball in the SEC is kind of a steep hill to climb, and I guess the transition period may be a little slower than Musselman anticipated. And like you said, I wouldn't be surprised maybe if Arkansas stumbled out of the gate as they kind of get acclimated to all the new faces on the roster, get acclimated to playing with each other, or maybe if they stumble in Maui, or maybe don't live up to expectations per se in the early parts of the season. But I mean, the loss against Texas, I'm not really going to get too worked up about, just because it is so early and they have so much talent on the roster. I mean, they'll be fine.
There are a lot of these big exhibition games happening right now. Of course, you got Arkansas and Texas. The Razorbacks were ranked number 10 in the AP poll in the preseason. Texas ranked number 12. There have been some, quote, secret scrimmages like Houston, Texas, Houston, and Duke. There was one that was a real high-profile preseason game the other night, Bob. Tennessee and Gonzaga, where Tennessee won by 19 points. you're an AP voter, and I've heard people ask this over the last week or so. Did these games in the preseason, do they influence you whenever you go to put together your next ballot?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably think about them, but I don't know if I put a whole lot of stock in them because, you know, in some of these scrimmages, there's almost an agreement, well, we need work against zone defenses or we need work against the press or whatever. And so they're sort of like, you know, glorified practices. Obviously, Arkansas-Texas was more of a game, but, I you know, it's an exhibition game. It doesn't count in the standings. Kind of like preseason football games. You know, I remember in 1989 when Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys, they went 4-0 in the exhibition games, and I think they went 1-15 in the season. So I really don't want to put too much stock in exhibitions, especially when it's not something, you know, the quote secret scrimmages, which I just think is a really stupid idea. If teams are going to play, you know, let people see them, you know, I think that's stupid.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I saw where KU and Illinois played one recently at Lindenwood up in St. Louis, Scotty.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add one more thing that I thought was pretty interesting that Ronnie Brewer told everybody at the sports club on Hogs Illustrated Sports Club on Wednesday. You know, if you're one of the things I wanted to get his takeaways from the game, just it's unique. Like normally throughout the season, we typically just get Eric and some players and assistant coaches and support staff members. You know, we don't get to talk to them very often, but their insight is like, I find it to be incredibly unique. But I asked Ronnie, I was like, what have the workouts and practices been like in the days since the Texas exhibition? And, you know, Ronnie played 3 years here, you know, played ball at Fayetteville High before that. And then I think he played nearly a decade in the NBA. So he's been around the game a long time. He said that he's never been around a longer film session than the one that Arkansas had after that Texas game. He said they literally went play by play and stopped the film after like every play. And I think that he said, you know, you got to give the guys credit because they took the criticism, they accepted it. And now I think they're ready to move on. But, you know, Eric before the Texas exhibition said that, you know, prep hadn't been going maybe the way that he had envisioned because they've had, you know, several NBA teams drop in. And I think I looked on October 26th and 27th, they had like a total of 5 NBA teams or personnel from NBA teams come in. I think David Fizdale was there on the 27th. And Eric, I think he worked under Eric his second year at Golden State. But, you know, their practices had been open to those NBA teams and personnel and stuff like that up until last Friday. This week, they've all been closed. And they've been getting after it. And I think Ronnie said that he's seen like the guys, like they at least appear to be refocused. And I think they're ready to move on to the opener on Monday.
Of course, Arkansas beat Rogers State before they went to Texas. They won the game 83-49 on October the 24th. Bob and Andrew, you guys were both there. Let's start with you, Bob. What did you see that night?
Well, yeah, I saw a team that I thought had a lot of talent, obviously overwhelmed Rogers State as they should, but they had not done that the year before with, essentially a pretty different roster. But, you know, you saw a team that hit some threes. Joseph Pinion was a big part of that. We don't know how much he'll play once the season starts, but he went in there and had a pretty good game. I think he had 4 out of 6 threes. They were very good defensively, but again, it was against Rogers State, not against Texas or Houston or Kansas or whoever. They did not shoot their free throws well, which you should be able to shoot those against anybody because nobody's guarding you on the free throw line, but they had a high volume. I think they had 37, but they only hit 20. So they want to keep getting the line. They just need to knock more of them down. They did a pretty good job handling the ball. I think I can't remember exactly what the turnovers were, but they did a much better job in the second half. So you saw a lot of guys were still getting used to playing each other, but you know, the talent level was pretty obvious, and you know, just the athleticism, the way they could dunk. But they're gonna be able to dunk on SEC teams the way they dunked on Rogers State.
Yeah, piggybacking off of what Bob said, I think their athleticism kind of carried them in that game against Rogers State, and they had 21 turnovers, which is not what you would expect against a Division II team. And so they were kind of sloppy with the ball. But they did make incredible kind of highlight reel plays. Anthony Black looked like a cheat code at the point guard position, throwing lobs, finishing lobs. I mean, he was kind of doing it all for a guy his size. It's almost unfair to have him handle the ball the way he does. And so it was definitely a game they controlled from start to finish. But they, like Bob said, they got to get better at the free throws and the turnovers.
Bob, we had Chuck Barrett at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club about a week and a half ago, and it was just after the Rogers State game. And one of the things that he said was that he said, I've been watching Razorback basketball since Eddie Sutton was coach, and I can't remember there ever being freshmen in a Razorback uniform like Nick Smith, like Anthony Black. Those were the two, I think, that he pointed out individually. You've been covering the team for a long time, too. Have you ever seen a group of freshmen that looks like this, maybe from at least an athletic standpoint?
Well, I mean, if you take the whole group in totality, of course, you know, Moses Moody was here 2 years ago, and he was a first-round draft pick. Ronnie Brewer is really good. I don't know if Ronnie's as good as Nick Smith. You know, Ronnie was 13th pick, I guess, his junior year. But yeah, Arkansas has definitely had some good freshmen before. You know, Corliss Williamson, Scotty Thurman come to mind, Todd Daly, Mayberry, but it was a different time. Nobody talked about being one and done back in the 90s and even the early 2000s. But, you know, would Todd Daly, Mayberry, would those guys be one and done guys now? I don't know. It's almost like if you stay beyond a couple years, then you're over the hill. You know, and you don't have enough of a ceiling to develop. I think it's kind of crazy because if I was an NBA GM, I'd want to quote finish product like Larry Bird, Sidney Moncrief. I mean, those guys came in, you knew what you were getting with those guys. And I think you know what you're probably getting with an Anthony Black and a Nick Smith, but still they're not, maybe they're going to be 20, 19, a little different than if a guy's 22 or something. But yeah, just from a sheer, I think from a quality and quantity standpoint, I mean, this has got to be Arkansas's best freshman class ever because there's six players, and three of them are McDonald's All-Americans, which Arkansas has never had that before.
You mentioned this earlier, this proliferation of big games that you're seeing in the preseason, you know, the Gonzaga, Tennessee, Arkansas, Texas, and whatnot. Scotty and Bob, you guys were down in Birmingham last month for SEC Media Day, and I know that was one of the topics of conversation is that there's maybe a little bit of a movement right now to potentially have some of these types of contests in the summertime. I know you guys talked to SEC coaches, just what we're kind of reading the room. Do you think this is something that we might see more of in the summertime leading up to the season?
Yeah, I definitely think it's some of the coaches are in favor of. I can't really think of a coach who spoke out against it. I think the feeling is,
I don't think there was one, yeah, honestly.
Yeah, I think the feeling is these guys are already here on campus. You know, they're going through workouts. So if you're going to go through a lot of, and that just, you think about it, they're really practicing from, you know, like June. It's not like the old middle of October start date. Now it's really June. So you're talking about June, July, August, September, October. You're really talking about 5 months of practice leading into the season. I mean, can you imagine 5 months of fall camp for a football team, you know, or training camp? So I think the feeling is, hey, let's play some scrimmages, and you could do it like, you know, figure out a city that, you know, sort of like, you know, Dallas, Chicago, Las Vegas, whatever, you know, and you bring in a bunch of teams and they just rotate and play. And it's kind of like, you know, the NBA summer league in a way. And I think especially a guy like Eric Musselman, who's got an NBA background, I don't know if it bothers him, but I think he says, man, here's the NBA getting all this attention on ESPN with these summer league games. Because if you're a basketball fan, hey, that's kind of cool. You get to see all these rookies and new guys playing the summer league. Well, now if you're a college basketball fan, you can see all these freshmen like, you know, Nick Smith and Anthony Black and Jordan Walsh playing. And you could go to one place and stay for a month and get in lots of games. And you know, I think you could get in practices and games. I don't think anybody wants to turn into the AU circuit where you're playing, you know, three games a day or something. But, you know, maybe you play a game, practice a couple days, play a game. I think that would do much more for the development of your team. And, of course, again, Eric coming from the NBA, he's used to having – you know, I don't even know, 10, 12, however many exhibition games NBA teams would play, not this two-game stuff. So I think that's something you're probably going to see happen very often, but maybe as soon as next summer, you know, this coming summer.
A couple of other interesting points that were raised by all those coaches was, you know, if you place those games, you know, in August, there's a pretty good chance that TV is going to pick those up. And that could come, those games against, you know, power five teams, you know, you would imagine those matchups, like who, what, like ESPN would definitely want to pick those up. I mean, and that's a, at a pretty dry time in the sports calendar, no offense to regular season baseball. But I mean, if Arkansas and let's say Duke are playing on like a random Friday night, I think everybody would probably tune into that over Rangers Astros. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a, I think there's something to, I think you could definitely take advantage of that. And then I thought Rick Barnes made a terrific point about officiating. Like some of these officials have this time off and, you know, these early season tournaments, like Arkansas is going to Maui, you know, there may be an official calling a really high level basketball game early in the season. And it might be the first game that he's called in months. And so he might be rusty as an official, not exactly, you know, he might not be in the greatest of shape running up and down the floor. He might not be as sharp with his whistle and what he's seeing. But you allow those officials to maybe knock some of that rust off maybe in August. I think that could do wonders for officiating. It would be kind of the same way with teams that, you know, once you get to about this point in the year, you feel like you're in a little bit of a better position to perform than you would be if you didn't have those games.
The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit their showroom at 411 South Metro Parkway in Rogers or online at LandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Arkansas opens the season on Monday night with a game against North Dakota State at Bud Walton Arena, 7 o'clock tip-off. North Dakota State was 23-10 last season. They're under David Richmond in his ninth year. Scotty, you wrote about them whenever this game was announced back in the summer. What do we know about the Bison?
Yeah, I think you made – I mean, I think what you said about, you know, the Bison being in their ninth year under David Richmond, I mean, that he's – he's got probably got his program about where he wants it. Obviously not in the win-loss record, but I think he's kind of established a program there. You know, Eric's done that in just through 3 years here. I mean, I think everybody knows what Arkansas's identity is. And by year nine at a school like North Dakota State, I think the you know, the program's pretty established, at least in that conference anyway. And I think nationally people recognize that's a team that, you know, if you don't bring it, they could, you know, they could, you know, make you look pretty foolish on pretty much any given night. But they've got a 6'11 forward named Grant Nelson. He's their lone returning double-digit scorer from last year. I think he was somewhere right around 12 points, 50% shooting, blocked, I think, a team out 38 shots last year. And then Bowden Skunberg, I think I'm saying that name right, 6'5 junior guard. He's their number two returning scorer, about 6 points a game. Got some starting experience, but, you know, North Dakota State played a scrimmage, I think, or an exhibition last night against a school I've never heard of before, and then beat them pretty good. I think they knocked down 15 threes, and they had like five guys in double figures. A guy named Andrew Morgan, 8 or 9 from the floor, scored 22 points. Let me see. They got a guard named Tejavis Miller. He went for 18 and knocked down 6 of 10 threes. So I think what you're seeing is probably, or what I just said is probably about what you're expecting from North Dakota State. Like, they're going to shoot the crap out of the basketball. And Arkansas has got to be on its P's and Q's in terms of perimeter defense, which they absolutely were not at Texas. I think Texas made 5 threes in each half on like 7 or 8 attempts respectively, or 9 in the second half maybe. But Arkansas has got to be super attentive to their perimeter threats, and they're going to be in for a game right off the bat. And I think that's, again, exactly what Eric wants. I expect it to be a game that Arkansas wins, I don't know, maybe by double figures at least, just because I think the wake-up call that they got at Texas just really set everybody straight. And I would imagine Arkansas is going to be in training camp mode probably until maybe Friday or maybe sometime this weekend. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough game right out of the gates.
You can't really take a whole lot from one season to the next because basketball teams, you know, their rosters switch so much. But you look at these first three teams that Arkansas is going to play before they go out to Maui, and they play their fourth game of the season in Maui. They'll play Louisville on November the 21st. But before then, they play North Dakota State on November 7th. They play Fordham on November 11th. That'll be a Friday night. And then they'll play the following Wednesday night against South Dakota State. All three of those games are going to be at Bud Walton Arena. We mentioned North Dakota State was 23-10 last season. Fordham was 16-16 last season. Now, they've made a coaching change since the end of last year. And then you've got South Dakota State, which was one of the best mid-major programs in the country last year. They were 30-5. I think they gave somebody a pretty good run for their money in the NCAA tournament.
I think it was Providence.
Yeah, that's right. It was in Buffalo. It was mm-hmm. where Arkansas was playing there in the first round. That's right. Bob, this isn't your kind of run-of-the-mill lead-up to Maui, I don't feel like. You know, usually you might see some, and again, we don't know how strong these teams are going to be, but just based on their reputation from last year, it seems like this is maybe a little bit tougher of a schedule than we see this time of year.
Yeah, I think this is probably, and you know, you add in the Maui and road trip to Baylor and playing OU again in Tulsa, et cetera. And that's probably the toughest schedule Arkansas has played since Eric's gotten here. But I think with the expectations and the talent you're bringing in, you want to be challenged. And, you want to be a team that a tournament like Maui wants to invite, because that's always, you know, 8 really good teams. And I remember when they added South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, they're a really good team, really good program. They lost some players. I think they lost some guys to exhausted eligibility and had some guys, you know, leave through the portal. But I think they've got some pretty good players. They're obviously used to winning. And so I think that in particular is a really good early season game for Arkansas team. You can come in here that, you know, doesn't need a guarantee. I mean, they're going to get a guarantee, but they don't need a game back. In other words, you know, it's a team you bring into Fayetteville for a one-time deal. So, and it's interesting, you know, Todd Lee, who's on Eric's staff now, is a good friend of his from his CBA days with the Rapid City Thrillers. And Todd coaches South Dakota, so he's coaching at South Dakota State, North Dakota State, and the Summit League. So I think that'll be, you know, he'll probably bring some good insight into the personnel they have and the coaching styles. And I assume, you know, Scott will be pretty heavily involved in those scouts.
Yeah, I don't expect South Dakota State to be the same team that they were last year. I think Matt said they were 30-5. I mean, they lost their best player, Baylor Shireman. I think he transferred to Creighton. I think he was one of the most sought after players in the transfer portal, like bar none. Like, the kid can just absolutely shoot the lights out. But losing him is a big deal. But, you know, I think this will still be a pretty tough test for Arkansas in game 3, but it'll get them really prepared for Maui. There's no doubt about that. I think they'll have their minds right, certainly before they go out and play Louisville, which will be, you know, another tough game. I think Kenny Payne, right? He's in his first season at Louisville. He'll have that team prepared too.
Well, they lost to a Division II team in the preseason.
You talked about another wake-up call right there.
Yeah, exactly. Getting your attention. Not only did they lose, but they lost that game at the Yum Center
in
Louisville to who was that? Was it Lemoyne?
I think it was Lenore Ryan.
Lenore Ryan. I knew it was something with a la in it. Lemoyne, that was who beat Syracuse, I think, in a Division II over a Division I preseason game several years ago, right, Bob? I think that Syracuse team might have gone to the Final Four.
Yeah, it sounds right. I think LeMoyne, I remember their baseball team came in here and played. I think they're right from there in Syracuse. So that'd be like, I don't know. That'd be like losing
to NWAC or something, JBU. I mean, it would be.
that'd be like losing to what's that school?
Yeah, like Ufis or JBU. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that's probably pretty comparable.
Yeah. So, these exhibition games, you know, coaches are playing different guys there. You know, like Eric's not going to play 13 guys in the first half of a real game, a game that counts. I mean, this is not his style. And it's really early. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely can, you know, open your eyes to we see this in football too. I remember, 1995, the year Arkansas won the SEC West title in football, they opened by losing to SMU. I think that was the only game SMU won all year. So SMU went 1-10 from this before they played 12 games, and Arkansas won the West. So, you know, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, you know, you see these upsets in baseball during the middle of the week when teams aren't throwing their top pitchers. So that's just college sports sometimes.
And Scotty mentioned the player who transferred from South Dakota State to Creighton, Arkansas, could potentially see him in Maui because their second game in Maui will be either against Texas Tech or against Creighton. We'll get out here on this real quick. The North Dakota State game on Monday night, obviously it's a season opener. There's going to be all kinds of stuff that, you know, I'm sure the coaches want cleaned up. But let's just talk about what you're most interested in watching Monday night. I guess for me, it's going to be player rotation because this is the time of year where we see the bench a little bit longer. They're seeing who can handle the minutes and, you know, where they might fit into the rotation. Obviously, you know, if the last few years are any indication, they probably should be under Musselman. The minutes are going to shrink, right? The roster is going to get – the bench is going to get a little bit shorter as the season goes along. But this is the point in the year where you're going to see a lot of players play, and I think that's one of the things that really interests me. I guess maybe as long as the game isn't too awful tight.
Yeah, I'm pretty interested to see if, you know, Arkansas has already got a pretty decent sample size of play, you know, just given the four games and on the foreign tour and then two exhibitions. So you got six games right there. That's a pretty good body of work. And then obviously everything they've done in the offseason. And I think Eric's got a pretty good idea of what he's got and who can do what and who can't. And I'm going to be really curious to see if he maybe shortens his rotation sooner than he normally does, just because he may have a better grasp of his personnel. The main thing I'm looking at is the forward rotation. I think the exhibitions this preseason, not the on the foreign tour, I think that gave us a pretty good indication maybe of who he trusts. I think it might be Jalen Graham and Makai Mitchell, and then Mikel Mitchell and Kamani Johnson might be on that second tier. I really liked what I saw from Makai in stretches against Texas. I think his footwork is a real plus, and I think he's maybe the most physical and, you know, able body for long stretches in the season. I think that you can count on it. Jalen, you know, as long as he kind of embraces the physicality and playing on the interior, I think he'll be pretty solid. And then I think for me, it's just, and I don't know that we'll figure this out in game one, game two, or game three, but at least by Maui early in the season, I don't know who Arkansas's second leading scorer is going to be. And I think Nick is, I think he's the odds on favorite, probably. You get terrible odds on Nick being the leading scorer, but I don't know who the second leading scorer is going to be. Like, it could be like four or five different guys, but it might be a team where you have a different second leading scorer every night, and Nick is just kind of carrying the water offensively. I'm going to be really, really eager to see kind of who steps up, because offensive firepower against Texas was not there, and it was kind of surprising that Makai Mitchell was their second leading scorer at halftime. Did not go into the game expecting that whatsoever. So I think their top secondary scorer and maybe that third guy in terms of scoring, that's going to be something that I'm keeping a close eye on. Or just who can go create their own shot or go get offense kind of when things break down.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious to see about their perimeter defense. You know, Scotty mentioned that North Dakota State hit 15 threes the other night. Now, you know, that may have been against air, but whatever, but still, that's pretty good shooting. And, you know, Eric has said, you know, Arkansas's had, they shot the ball pretty well against Rogers State, but, you know, they didn't shoot well in Europe, Didn't really shoot well at Texas, I don't think. So I'll be curious. They hadn't shot great in practice, apparently. So, I mean, Eric said if they're not going to be a great perimeter shooting team, they really need to defend. And we know they did that his first year, and they've kind of come around. But I think, yeah, the whole what hand in the eye thing, you know, where they're going to be holding up a lot of bricks in practice. But yeah, I'm going to be curious to see, you know, how they're, you know, how they defend on the perimeter against a team that's got some guys that, you know, apparently can shoot the ball pretty well, because that's probably going to have to be something they do real well if they're going to have a big season.
Yeah, I think what I'm most looking forward to finding out is the rotation as well, and not only just who gets in, but how long of a leash they have, because with the talent level across this roster, I think it's deeper than the teams that Musselman's had in the past. And so I think maybe the guys that initially get on the floor might have a shorter leash if they are turning the ball over or not getting in the right spots. I think Musselman said after the Roger State game, after they turned the ball over 21 times, that the turnovers will be reduced when I stop playing the guys who turned it over. And so that's kind of, I think maybe if you get a starter in there who's playing loosely with the ball, that they might end up not being a starter by midseason. And so I'm kind of interested to see how that develops as the season goes along.
Everybody's highly recruited. Everybody comes with like a certain amount of fanfare, and there's always going to be that player or two players who just never pan out the way you think they will, whether it be because of turnovers, whether it be because of poor defense, whether it be, you know, maybe something that's being seen in practice. So it's always interesting to see how that works out. It's inevitable. It's every year. Why isn't such and such playing more? Well, it usually goes back to one of those factors. Again, Arkansas will play North Dakota State Monday night, 7 o'clock tip off at Bud Walton Arena. Come to our website, wholehogsports.com, before, during, and after the game for all of our basketball coverage. Of course, we're in full football mode too. The Razorbacks playing Liberty this week. We'll have another Whole Hog Football podcast on Friday with Tom Murphy, previewing the Arkansas Liberty game this weekend at Razorback Stadium. For Scotty Bordelon, Bob Holt, and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next week on the basketball podcast of Mid-America.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.